Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi jana bala bha giri vada dhari Gopi jana bala bha giri vada dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamana Tira Vanachadi Nandana Chadi Jamana Tera Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vada Dhadi Jana Balabha Giri Vada Dhadi Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Vada Dhadi Giri Vada Dhadi Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishapad Paramahamsa Parivijagacharaja Astatavisatasi Srimad His Divine Grace Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Kaur Pimanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Text 12 from Chapter 12 Canto 10 Yad pada pam sur bahujan makrishtrato. Dirtatma bir yogi bir apya labhyaha. Sa eva yad drig vishaya swayam stita. Kim vanyate drishtam ato vrajau karsam. Yat pada pam sur bahujan makrish chato. Dritatma bir yogi bir apya labhyaha. Sa eva yadrig vishaya swayam stitaha. Kim vanyate dishtam ato vrajau krasam. Pada pam sur bahajan makrich trito. Nitat mabir yogi bir apya labhyaha. Sa eva yasprig vishaya swayam stitaha. Kim varnyate drishtam ato vajau kasam. Yat pada umsur bahujan makrish chato. Dutat mabir yogibir apya labhyaha. Sa eva yastrig vishaya swayam stitaha. Kim varnyate dishtam ato vajau kasam. Yat whose pada pam soho dust of the lotus feet bahu janma in many births krichtrataha from undergoing severe austerities and penances as a way of practicing yoga meditation, etc. Drita atmabihi, by persons able to control the mind. Yogi bihi, by such yogis. Parentheses, it's Gyan yogis, Raja yogis, Dhyan yogis, etc. Api, indeed, alabhyaha cannot be achieved. Saha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva, indeed, yat drik vishayaha has become the object of direct vision face to face. Svayam, personally, stittaha, present in front of them. Kim, what? Varnyate, can be described. Dishtam, about the fortune. Attaha, therefore. Vraja o kasam, of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi Vrindavan. Translation, yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births by practicing yama, niyama, asanas, and pranayama, none of which are easily performed. Yet, in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling the mind, they will still be unable to taste even a particle of dust from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then can we describe about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally lived and who saw the Lord face to face? Short purport by Srila Prabhupada. We can simply imagine the great fortune of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It is impossible to describe how, after many, many births of pious activities, they have become so fortunate. That this text 12 is the end of a series, and the series is preceding the confrontation with the Agha demon. So that's the next verse tomorrow. And Shukadev Goswami is, obviously, he's narrating, and the I want to read the commentary of our acharyas from the previous verse to this verse because they're connected, and it's really wonderful and it's really extensive. Anyone that's accustomed to hearing Srila Prabhupada recorded lectures, you're very familiar with this Krita Punya Punja phrase. It's the last Sanskrit message of the previous verses. And the emphasis of this whole collection of verses is the intimacy of playing with Krishna. Now Prabhupada would say, God is good, God is great, and it's so that the awe and veneration is one thing. And then even the platform of rendering service, so neutrality, servitude, then friendship. We had a beautiful class yesterday Gokuleshwar gave about the four different types of sakhas. And they have a... The emphasis is they have a privilege that's so exceptional. And so what we hear, I want to hear again, because I read this morning, the commentary, this Krita Punya Punja means one of the commentaries says, it sounds material, so there's a material punya, and then beyond material punya is spiritual punya, because there's a different fruit from material punya and spiritual punya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's sukriti, that's material, there's sukriti, that's impersonal, and there's sukriti, similar to the word upunya, that's fully spiritual. So these cowherd boys, to get the position of playing with Krishna, it's that kind of punya, or that kind of sukriti. Krita, punya, punja. The word for word is all these boys who had accumulated the results of life after life of pious activities. This verse, text 12, says all the residents of Vrindavan, aside from that, let's say the cows, or the land, or the servants, below the position, other than the position of Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, the Dasya and Shanta Rasa personalities or entities, they could see Krishna all the time. All the time. So the emphasis of this verse that we just chanted together is all the residents of Vrindavan had this most outstanding opportunity to see Krishna all the time. Of course, sometimes Krishna would be away and then there'd be feelings of separation, but they would see Krishna within their heart because of their attachment for Krishna. So they could see Krishna. And in the case of the cowherd boys, this section is they could play with Krishna. They could play with Krishna. Way beyond majesty, way beyond the position of veneration of the master and the servant. I mean, it's pure, the relationship of Prahlad towards Lord Vishnu or Lord Nrisingadev. Pure, there's no impurity. Pure, Shuddha Bhakti. The intimacy in Dasya becomes more and more and more and becomes eventually friendship. Prabhupada describes like this with somebody that's, he gives the example of somebody that's the chauffeur of a big man. And after some time, the chauffeur of the big man, there's a kind of intimacy in that relationship of servitorship, and then they become like friends. He would sometimes give the example of, what's his name, the Joker? Bond? Somebody familiar with the name? One king kept a court attendant, so he was the servant of the king, something something, and Prabhupada tells the story, I forget his name, the king and, Gopal Ban. So, the king once asked Gopal Ban, what's the difference between you and a donkey? And Gopal Ban looked at him, took some paces and said, three steps. There's a difference between me and a donkey. And the king laughed, and everybody in the court laughed. He's insulting the king, you're calling the king a donkey. But there's a kind of intimacy that is the result of acting, although in the mood of servant, but moving towards friend. And then in Vrindavan, there's no majesty at all, as we heard yesterday, the different kinds of sakas. So how fortunate. And so who can say? It's Shukadev Goswami's spontaneous exhibition of appreciation for the great fortune of the Cowherd Boys, that they're playing with Krishna in these ways that are being described. Very intimate, and then more intimate and more intimate, and so forth. So all the so this text 12 is all the residents of Vrindavan compared to the yogis after long austerities and penances and etc. etc. What to speak of people that take a yoga class and they do some asanas and they're practicing yoga. So anyway, the purpose that's stated here in this purport is controlling the mind, controlling the senses, and supposing they become, good at it, controlling the mind and controlling the senses. Best is Paramatma realization, which doesn't give even a particle of dust of the lotus feet of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Shukadev Goswami's appreciation. It's very similar to the appreciation of Lord Brahma in his prayers. It's two chapters later, chapter 14. After the killing of the Agasura demon comes Brahma stealing the calves and the Cowherd Boys, chapter 13, and then his prayers, chapter 14. So he's appreciating what good fortune the resident of Vrindavan have. How can you possibly repay them? And he gives the example specifically, Putana. You delivered Putana. You delivered the two brothers. Bhaka was Putana's brother, and Agha was Putana's brother. They're family members, Asura's clan. And you delivered them. You gave them liberation. You touched them with your lotus feet, because when he got into the mouth of Bhaka, his feet touched the beak. And then he bifurcated. So, but he became fully purified. So what to speak of the residents of Vrindavan? How are you going to reciprocate with them? It's beyond. So Brahma, is appreciating the good fortune, just as Shukadev here in this text 12 is appreciating the good fortune of the residents of Brajabhumi. What good fortune? And how do you reciprocate with them? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he can't. Of course, he can do anything. So, but he reciprocates, and he says, your happiness is the only reciprocation. I can't go beyond that. But, that happiness is Krishna's gift. That's his reciprocation. And the happiness of unalloyed love, the happiness of, just as this verse is speaking, seeing Krishna face to face. What good fortune. Now, seeing Krishna face to face many times, Prabhupada would explain, pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyam, direct perception of the self by realization, direct perception of Krishna. And he would explain, this is like not necessarily seeing the form of Krishna, but seeing Krishna everywhere. Seeing Krishna everywhere includes seeing everything as being connected with its source of emanation, and with its source of emanation, you're seeing the source of emanation. just like, you know, I'm not looking at the sun because it's over in that direction, but I'm seeing the light of the sun against the wall. And often the light of the sun is right in your face when you're sitting here. It's just, you know, when summertime comes around, it'll move over this way. Already the rising of the sun is starting to come earlier and earlier and earlier, happening already. So by seeing the light of the sun, you know the sun is present. So that's knowledge. But those who have application of knowledge, they can see Krishna by seeing, like this famous example, when the devotee sees the tree, there's a nice tree out here, they don't just see the tree, they see Krishna. So that's not the same, it's same and not the same, as seeing Shamsundar, Premanjana Charita Bhakti. So one may not have prema and see the tree and see the tree is connected, everything is connected to Krishna. So the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Jamanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudev Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. Vasudev, in one sense, the direct sense, is the son of Vasudev, Krishna. Krishna is everything. Another meaning of Vasudev, which the impersonalists like more than the son of Vasudev, is the all-pervasive supreme. Just like the Father, we know from Krishna Janmashtami, Vasudev, his mind was pure. So Krishna appeared in the mind of Vasudev because his mind was pure, and thus he became Vasudev. So for impersonalists, the Vasudev state is where they can realize Brahman. For them, Vasudev means something different than what Hare Krishna devotees understand or Vaishnavas understand. Vasudev is the son of Vasudev. As Krishna appeared in the mind of Vasudev, Krishna can appear in the mind of those who are beyond the Gyan Yoga stage. The Gyan Yoga person, maximum, can realize Brahman. We'll hear in this purport, and they'll read shortly, they can infer, they may not also, generally they don't, they can infer the presence of the form of Krishna is indicated by Brahman. Just like the presence of the sun is indicated by the sunlight. The presence of the personality of Godhead is indicated by the tree or any other manifestation of Krishna. Any. It doesn't exist without the source of emanation. So the Vedas are pointing to the source of emanation, and the source of emanation ultimately is a person. That's what the Vedas are teaching. There are lots of people that get a different conclusion. Lots of people get a different conclusion. But that's what the Vedas are pointing to. That's what Vedanta Sutra says, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. What is that source of everything? Janmadyasa yataha itaratashchartesu abhigya swarat teni brahmats, and so forth. So the Bhagavatam is explaining to us that Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. You know, for us it's easy. We didn't have to go through all those gymnastics of the different yoga processes. Just last night was at a program with the Russian devotees, and one of the the topics that came up three times was, out there are people practicing different yogas, and name some of them, this one, that one, the other one. And not even like the standard yoga, just, you know, hot yoga and, you know, different brands of yoga practice. It's basically just asanas and pranayama. They just give different names. So how to help those people, how to deal with those people? And the answer I gave is just sound vibration from the right source and submission to that sound vibration. They can continue their this, that yoga, that yoga. But through sound vibration, it carries one beyond. And without the sound vibration, it doesn't carry one beyond. That's this morning's verse. The yogis, even if they achieve perfection, and the mind becomes controlled, the senses become controlled, they cannot even touch a particle of the dust of the lotus feet of Bhagavan Krishna. So how do you get that particle from sound vibration? Mercy through sound vibration. Connection with transcendence through sound vibration. Through sound vibration broadcast by a proper transmitter. Because the original transmitter is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, is Krishna himself. Krishna is Dharmam hi sakshat Bhagavat pranitam. Bhagavat pranitam. Bhagavan establishes how to live your life to connect with transcendence. So the source of emanation is transcendence. And we need a broadcaster of that sound vibration, a receiver and a broadcaster. We need teachers. We need teachers. We need those that teach in a transparent way of this original sound vibration. That's a big qualification. Not just parroting, repeating, but from the place of being connected to that transcendence through sound vibration. It's a purifying, gradual purifying process. We need that association. We need that association. So let's hear from those that have that qualification. We're going to go back to yesterday's collection of verses. Get ready for a kind of extended ride of sound vibration from our acharyas. Compliments of Bhanu Swami. So I'm going to skip the paragraph that deals with the way that they played together, the horns and the baby monkeys and the funny faces and making sounds and so forth. So this is starting with Vishwanath. So this is yesterday's verses, 7 through 11. Having previously described the playing of the cowherd boys, this verse praises the good fortune of all the Vrijvasis above everyone else's fortune. In this world, there are three types of people. Gyanis, bhaktas, and karmis. The word satam indicates the gyanis with some trace of devotion, because otherwise it's not gyan yoga, it's some trace. The inhabitants of Braja played with Krishna, who is the knowledge and happiness of Brahman for the gyanis. By this it should be understood that Krishna's body with which the Brajavasis played contains the Brahman. The word sat cannot be applied to those gyanis who think of the body and form of Krishna as material. Dasya ganan refers to all the genuine devotees other than the inhabitants of Braja who see Krishna as their worshipable Lord. The Brajavasis played with Krishna, who is seen by these other devotees as their reverent lord. The Brajabasis played with Krishna, who is perceived by those involved in material happiness as an ordinary human. The Gyanis have realization of Krishna, but they cannot play with him. The realization of Krishna is the Brahman that's within Krishna, as mentioned. The Dasya Bhaktas worship Krishna in reverence, but they cannot be qualified to play with Krishna. The Karmis have no realization of Krishna, no worship, since they have no respect for him. So what to speak of playing with him? The Brajabasis played with him. Though he is complete in bliss, they gave him more intense bliss in the pastimes of prema. And they also attained remarkable bliss in all ways. Therefore, more than all others, they were fortunate. Krita punya. This, of course, is a material viewpoint. This is Vishwanath. For the Nitya Siddha inhabitants of Braja, who surpass the Gyanis and Dasya Bhaktas by far, the cause of the playing with Krishna cannot be material piety. Here, punya can only mean activities pleasing to the Lord, by which the Lord comes under the devotee's control. Very nice. So now, next, in the assembly of great acharyas that we're hearing from, the pure sound vibration transmission, Jiva Goswami, he describes in the first paragraph the activities, and Madhurya, with unequaled powers, that's the Aishwarya. He is attractive to all by his unequaled sweetness. He has natural excellence in his form, qualities, and pastimes. The means of the different realizations are Gyan Bhakti mixed with reverence and pure Bhakti without reverence. Without these three methods, people of the material world will only have a shadow realization of the Lord, since they cannot contact him at all. The Gita says, Naham prakasha sarvasha yoga maya samavrata. I am not revealed to everyone since I am covered by my yoga maya. Then he quotes chapter 23 of canto 10. They fail to recognize that he is the supreme absolute truth, the directly manifested Lord, whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus bewildered by their false identification with the mortal body, they did not show him proper respect. Paragraph. The status of realization is as stated in this verse. The realization of the Lord with power is more complete than realization of Brahman. And he quotes, the devatas constantly dwell with all good qualities in that person who has pure bhakti for the Lord. That's a famous reference. It is complete because it contains within it all aspects of knowledge of the Lord. Bhakti mama bijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Only by devotion does a person know me as I am. However, pure bhakti without reverence is more praiseworthy than bhakti with reverence. And this is now quoting Brahma in Brahma's Prayers, chapter 14, two chapters later. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd man, and all the other inhabitants of Braja. There is no limit to their good fortune because the absolute truth, the source of all transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. all the inhabitants of Braja. So friendship is included in parental and madhurya. Thus, one realizes one's swarup by impersonal gyan. One realizes the Lord with power by bhakti mixed with reverence. One realizes the Lord with sweetness by knowledge mixed with preeti. The manifestation of the highest sweetness of the Lord cannot be known by the impersonal gyanis. It is not sufficiently achieved by persons with dasya bhava, because the bhakti cannot comprehend the Lord fully with a heart restricted by reverence. But in considering the absolute entity in all its forms, that intimate realization is most relishable. And he then refers to the Atmarama verse, Atmaramas Chamunayo. It's being translated here. Some sages who are Atmaramas beyond the scriptures, false ego and rules, also practice unmotivated pure bhakti to the master of pure bhakti, Krishna, since he possesses qualities attractive to even them. And then Canto 2, Chapter 1. This is Shukadeva Goswami speaking, Chapter 1 of Canto 2. Though I was fixed in Brahman and beyond the gunas, my mind became attracted to the pastimes of the Lord. I thus learned about his pastimes. I will tell them to you. Krishna is the ocean of all powers. Brahma bahavo hum apiyasya kala kalaya shris chova hema chiram. Great demigods, this is quoting Chapter 68 of Canto 10. Great demigods like Brahma and Shiva, and even the goddess of fortune and I, are simply parts of his spiritual body. And we also carefully carry that dust on our heads. Balaram took him as a friend. With his friends in Braja, he acted as follows. From the previous chapter, chapter 11 of this canto. Sometimes, like bulls, they roared loudly with other boys, disguised as cows and bulls, and would fight with one another, roaring loudly, and sometimes they would imitate the voices of the animals. In this way, they wandered about exactly like two ordinary human children. One more paragraph with Jiva Goswami, and then we'll go to another broadcaster, Sanatan Goswami. Their preeti as friends, with no restriction of reverence, expands at every moment because of its lack of restriction and its special nature with fullness. Krishna's heart responds to that, and accordingly, his friends realize the exceptional sweetness of his form, qualities, and astonishing pastimes. What more can be said? Like churning the ocean to get nectar, such intimate love produces the highest sweetness, and control of Krishna because of their sweet love. This is not seen in jnani or the devotee with reverence, but in all the people of Braja. That he has given such pastimes to all of Braja, parentheses, Krita Punya Punja, it's not just the cowherd boys, is most astonishing to us. Or the first line can be explained as before. Now, in this avatar, Even the materialist realized Krishna as a sweet child by his mercy. They played with him. Okay, so now Sanatan Goswami. It's long. I hope nobody's falling asleep. After the way that they played together, punya refers to bhakti, as in 11th canto, chapter 19, dharmo mahad bhakti krita proktaha. Dharma is performing bhakti to me. That kind of punya. The boys must have performed lots of hearing, etc., as sadhana. Or they did piles of meditation on the Lord in Satya Yuga, Krita. Or they had accomplished, Krita, piles of anurag, punya. The gopis' rati was not fulfilled during the day because of separation, and even at night was not fulfilled with comfort. Parentheses, compared to these boys, easily associating with Krishna. Then he makes reference to chapter 21 of Canto 10. The coward girl said, "Oh, friends, we do not know any other success for those with eyes that the face of the younger one who plays the flute, the face experienced as he casts his sidelong glance of love, the face tasted by people with eyes, as the two sons of Nanda take the cows from the forest to forest along with their friends." The gopis are appreciating the good fortune of the cowherd boys. And finally, Shukadev desires that the gopis could associate in the same way as the boys did. Plunge into the ocean of rasa. So I'm going to read the commentary for this morning verse, because that was yesterday. It's a bit much shorter. Vishwanath writes, "What to speak of playing with Krishna, even establishing a relationship with Krishna, is very rare. That is the intent of this verse. The yogis do not attain even one particle of the dust of Krishna's feet. The yogis do not even attain one particle of the reflected light from the trees of Vrindavan. Those who are fully concentrating their minds cannot attain him. It was mentioned earlier that Krishna is not sukapa, or easily attained. Svayamstata, being self-situated, indicates that seeing him does not depend even on sadhana. What great fortune! A happy festival. Who can describe the good fortune or happiness of the Brajavasis who see Krishna, unobtainable by yogis who cannot even attain a particle of dust at his feet, concentrating their minds for lifetimes." And final one paragraph, Jiva Goswami, this morning's verse. "Not even considering the great fortune of their constant playing with the Lord, great souls cannot even attain the fortune of seeing Krishna, which all the people of Braja see. They cannot attain even a grain of dust from his feet. This means that they cannot establish any sort of relationship with him." Dust from his feet. "They cannot attain a ray of the trees, such as the Kadamba of Braja. They cannot see from far away even a ray of the devotees who drink at the Lord's feet. With prema. Though the yogis, on attaining samadhi, have made their mind steady by hardship of pratyahara, yama, niyama, for many lives, that person, Swayam Bhagavan, whom they see directly with their eyes, is situated in his sarup, or nature, is firmly eternally existing there with them. This usage is similar to yach cha kim chi, jagat sarvam, etc. Narayana, who is the whole universe and is spread everywhere, exists there eternally. He quotes the Upanishads. In amazement, he says, "Ah! How can one describe their good fortune? How can one describe what has been fixed? Their great festival of joy. It cannot be described at all." That's Jiva Goswami. Then enter stage left is Agha. Variegatedness. That's tomorrow's purport. A little variety. Who are we to be exposed to or brought in contact with such elevated subject matter? The driver yesterday, one of our favorite devotees who likes interfaith, he was asking this question. I wish he was here for the morning class. You can hear him recording. You know, do we actually believe that any religion is okay? We're not trying to convert people from that ism to this ism, and we want people to develop love for God. My answer was a qualified yes. Yes, on the one hand. And then on the other hand, explain all these things to somebody that's very advanced in their particular doctrine or path of religion. I brought up Saint Francis. He's not an ordinary fellow. Pandita Samadarshana. He lived his life that way. How many devotees live their lives that way? You know, we're sadhakas. We don't generally. What to speak of, you know, the prabhus. You know, just, you know, the squirrels. I did some cleaning yesterday and I found the evidence that there's mice upstairs. Without the detail. Hey, they're living entities too, you know, Pandita Samadarshana. And, you know, without going into it further, I hear there's sometimes some mice downstairs. Sometimes. Or say it strong. Sometimes they find some other place to go. We try to assist them to find another place to go. But, you know, so what do? Just like, anyway, how do you deal with the mice downstairs or the ones upstairs or, you know, other living entities? Well, Krishna has an arrangement, and we, in New York, for about 20 years, there's this church. Jitendra will probably wake up when he hears this. St. John the Divine Church in Manhattan. And every year, they have St. Francis Day. And on St. Francis Day at St. John the Divine Church, they would honor what St. Francis did. They would have like a procession and show different living entities. And one of the favorite ones was this glass case that had a big tarantula inside. And they would honor the tarantula in a glass case and go on parade and, you know, follow the footsteps of St. Francis. And they contacted us because they just didn't feel right serving meat at an event like that. So we were their caterers for the St. Francis Festival. Because otherwise, you know, it's talk that's not what St. Francis did. Now, I don't know how St. Francis dealt with tarantulas, but his principle was respecting the life of all living entities. You know, another verse from Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, the Sochati, the Kangsati. What's the next line? Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu. That's St. Francis. Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Three preliminary. Brahma Bhuta stage, that's seeing their soul. Prasanatma. Next, the Sochati, the Kangsati. Good luck to attain that. Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu. Those three are the qualifications for entering into bhakti. So let's say St. Francis had bhakti. It wasn't just cosmetic. He had great affection. He was a very extraordinary personality. But introduce St. Francis to what we just heard from Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Shukadev Goswami. It's a whole lot. So, on the one hand, and on the other hand, this question about, you know, persuasions of different doctrines. There are essences. I was recently listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada speaking. I forget what city. Some city. Wasn't in America, it was someplace. Maybe it was Australia. Someplace. And it was Geneva. Geneva. And the lecture was to a group of people that were, they had a different name, but it was an interfaith kind of a group. And they wanted, you know, to, there was this like little prologue of what's the mission of this interfaith group? You know, European version of interfaith. I forget the title, what their name was. But, you know, they want people to, you know, let's come together and love one another and be strong with your religious views, but be acceptance of others' religious views, that kind of message. So there needs to be acceptance of others' religious views. At the same time, you know, it's like, to be really honest, if we're going to be transparently honest, there's lots of wonderful things, just like Bhaktisiddhanta did in unifying the four sampradayas, rather than this one's better than that one, or ours is better than yours, or any of those kinds of things that go on amongst learned persons. He made an effort to unify or appreciate the homality, you know, the sameness of the differences of the four sampradayas. It was a major part of what he did. At the same time, he was, you know, he knew this section of the Bhagavatam and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that are exceptionally special. And he didn't hold back. He would say it. Very special. The Bhagavatam, you have to say it. You have to say it. It's the Bhagavatam. So, on the one hand and on the other hand, this is so superlatively special. And we have to hear it from the right source. Otherwise, you get something else. Another sound vibration gives you a take to another place. Even maybe the text may be the same. So we need teachers that transparently present this message. So here we have it. Prabhupada gave in his Bhaktivedanta purports essences, like all these different things that I just read from, are in essence form in Prabhupada's purports. But it's nice to hear from the predecessor acharyas who Prabhupada drew from and distilled in essence form for us. Very nice. How fortunate. And just to hear gives us the opportunity to receive that same good fortune. At least this much. At least having faith in the source and the process. The bhakti process and the source of the bhakti process. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings were not different. The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're on the right path. We may be way down here, but the path is going to take us, if we properly follow and continue the sound vibration method, and from the sound, from Shravanam comes Kirtanam, comes Vishnu Smaranam, comes Archanam and Bandhanam and everything else. Sound vibration. Srimad Bhagavatam and the Holy Name. Perfect combination. Okay, so any discussion? I hope you enjoyed hearing from our acharyas. It's nice. Gokulananda, you've got something. I could tell. You want to wait and process the question?
I can try to articulate.
Okay, fine. Okay.
So speaking of the levels of in the theology of Krishna consciousness,
yes,
we have this rasa topic,
yes,
in which there is a
hierarchy.
Different levels of devotee from dasya,
yes,
to,
yes,
the most intimate relationship,
yes,
madhurya. It seems to me that when the description of Krishna's pastimes are exclusive to pure devotees, and at that point of discussion of theology, there is not or it doesn't make sense to discuss about compassion for the material world, because these are topics dealing specifically with a relationship in the liberated platform.
Yeah.
But when theology of Krishna consciousness is discussed in a level of dasya, or like when Srila Prabhupada was he was preaching in here in the U.S., he will address to topics related to the,
yes,
crime,
audience,
or
yes,
feeding the people, and
yes,
like in Mayapur.
Yes.
And so my more like a question is, if you can elaborate on how as practitioners or sadhakas we deal with the responsibility of elevating ourselves through sadhana, although it's limited in the sense that we cannot see Krishna, you know, only because of sadhana. But how we can get the best version of ourselves?
How should we do what?
Can we be the best we can be as devotees, even though sadhana cannot assure you perfection, because that depends on mercy? But how we can practice devotional service following sadhana bhakti, at the same time show interest and compassion for what is going on, in the material world, although in a, on the ultimate sense, we know that in a point is irrelevant when it comes to perfection of devotional service. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that, I have a quote.
Okay.
He said that those who think that devotion to God and kindness...
Those who do what?
Those who think that devotion to God and kindness to the jivas are mutually different from each other and perform accordingly in their life, such persons will not be able to follow the devotional culture. Their performances are only a semblance of devotion. Therefore, all the types of beneficence to others, like kindness, friendliness, forgiveness, charity, respect, and so on, are included in bhakti. And so the thing I'm trying to put together is that sometimes, because we have access to high literature,
yeah,
we as practitioners may forget that we also have a role in dealing with
the world,
so-called lower subjects like morality and
sure.
other things to improve the environment where we live.
Yeah,
and we can use that devotion of topics of prema as a way to excuse, not excuse, but as to mask our lack of compassion and our lack of commitment to...
There's lots of abuses. The list is very extensive. And the lack of compassion has many different channels. One of them you've identified. As you were speaking and reading this Bhaktivinoda Thakur quote, I was thinking of, because I was recently asked this question by a devotee, you know, should we give in charity to poor people now that we're practicing bhakti? So Bhaktisiddhanta, this is at Radhakund, at least that's my understanding of the context. As they were going around Radhakund, they saw poor, you know, Babaji men and ladies sitting there with their little, and Bhaktisiddhanta commented to them, "Oh, you think," this is wealthy people from Delhi or something, "you think that now that you're practicing bhakti, you don't have to perform this duty of a householder giving in charity because you're practicing bhakti." And now, so should we give in charity to poor people? Well, according to Bhagavad Gita, there's charity in the modes of nature. We have to know who the proper recipient. How are they going to use the money that we give in charity to the poor person? So the people at Radhakund presumably are fit recipients compared to, you know, the people in street corners. For example, how will they use? So the destination of charity is important for those in the mode of goodness, but those that are Vaishnavas should do something for others. Prabhupada's emphasis, for example, was prasadam distribution to people within a certain radius, etc. Now that was, you know the history. And so it happened in Mayapur, and then he sent this letter out to all temples, da-da-da-da. So not just Mayapur. Now that has its problems if it's not done properly, because then people that smell bad, you know, come expecting something. And that it doesn't enhance. Anyway, so it has to be thoughtfully done, is my point. So it's part of the duty of a Vaishnava to be charitable, but how you should be charitable, how you should perform these moralities and ethics and standards that are for good people to do, and not just hover way up here and say we don't do those things because we're way up here and look down our nose on people that do those things. That goes on without giving examples. It goes on. Here's a nice example. The Bhaktivedanta Hospital at some point was being criticized. So they came before the Houghton GBC saying, if you want us to stop, we'll stop. But we want to show you how what we're doing in the hospital is resulting in bhakti. And they gave some statistics of how many people are chanting, how many people are now initiated, how many people are vegetarian and offering their food to Krishna, springing from the hospital. So the hospital is not only taking care of their physical, but their spiritual well-being. So when you take care of the things that are in the morality, ethics, good conduct, whatever it may be, connect it to Krishna. Otherwise, Shrama Evahi Kevalam. So we don't ignore those things or look down upon those that do those things. We want to elevate those things to the platform of Krishna Bhakti. And that's part of a life of pure devotion, starting with our founder Acharya. He told us to do those things. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu.
Before Gokulananda Prabhu asked this question, I was thinking similarly, but from a different take on it. Some time ago, you shared a particular pastime of Krishna meeting Sudama, the garland maker.
Yeah.
And there was one verse that you identified.
Yeah.
That really touched me very much, so I've been reading it again and again and again and thinking about it.
Yes.
In that verse, although Sudama is meeting and Krishna and Balaram personally, and when they've asked him, whatever you want to ask of us, he asks three things. He says, Achalam Bhakti, fixed devotion to you. Sauhridam, I want friendships with your devotees. And he says, Sarva Bhuteshu Cha Dayam, I want highest sense of compassion to all living beings. He didn't ask, I want to participate in your pastimes this way, that way. To me, it sounds like what you read from Jiva Goswami and other acharyas is by Prabhupada's and yours, I guess, compassion, you're giving us a insight into what the PhD or above PhD level looks like for the kindergartners. And it is wonderful to hear it. But the pathway to get there is when these three things are in place, at least. Because the same question Parikshit Maharaj also asks, let me have these feelings for the devotees and compassion. Vritrasura at the time of his death also asks very similar things. So where I was thinking is, these are wonderful, and this is an insight into where we might get to with those three or four things as the foundation or pillars if we live our lives on them, as Krishna is the center by which we do those things. Because this is way, way, way out of our grasp.
At the same, so these are stimulations of ecstatic love.
Yes.
And it's nice to have ecstatic love stimulated. And for those who have their ecstatic love stimulated, they're not neglectful of ordinary things. Just the opposite. They perform those ordinary things with ecstatic devotion, with genuine not just mode of goodness feelings, but ecstatic feelings. Ecstatic feelings. Here's two Prabhupada stories. I'm going to end with this because of the time. One Prabhupada story is, I heard this from Kaladri. Prabhupada was visiting in New Vrindavan. He gave this wonderful class in their old, you know, where the temple used to be. And was walking out, and it was cold outside, and there was this lady devotee sitting on the steps, and it was cold outside, and he turned to Kaladri and says, she doesn't have a jacket. Make an arrangement that she has a jacket. So he was the president at the time. Immediately thinking of her comfort, although, you know, we're not this body, Prabhu, and so forth. And there's another one that I heard from a nice devotee. I won't mention his name. He was on a morning walk with Prabhupada and then came after the morning walk to the temple and was engaged in kirtan, you know, the Guru Puja kirtan, in the midst of Prabhupada being celebrated in great exaltation. He noticed that this devotee was limping, and he, in the middle of the kirtan, called him over, said, why are you limping? And I stepped on something during the morning walk. Prabhupada pulled out a piece of paper, wrote down a prescription of something he should go to the pharmacy and take care of this right away, right in the middle of Guru Puja kirtan. The devotee's heart melted. He wasn't interested in himself. He was interested in his devotee. I mean, he was, anyway. This is the consciousness of an elevated devotee. While they're up here, they're also dealing with the world around them in very practical terms. Loving terms. In ecstatic terms. Very caring by nature. And there, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.